Hi, my name is Govind Jayaraman, and this is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Today we have Julia Lankwer. Julia is a passionate entrepreneur. She's built businesses in three European countries based on a North American model that she's taken over there and translated on the strength of partnerships. She's literally spoken and taught business skills to over 1,000 entrepreneurs over the world. Let's listen to my conversation with Julia Lankwer. Julia, welcome to Paper Napkin Wisdom. I'm so thrilled that you can join me here today.
Thank you very much. I'm really pleased to be speaking with you all the way from London.
Yes, from London. And I know that, you know, you are a really dynamic entrepreneur. You've got a lot of stuff on the go, and there's no surprise that you've got several pearls of wisdom on your napkin. And ordinarily I'd have you read the whole thing, but I think there's so much there that maybe we'll just do one at a time, one bite at a time. What do you think?
Okay, I love that. That sounds great.
Okay, so let's start off.
So the first thing that I wrote that came to my mind was my favorite quote, and it's kind of a mantra of mine, and I say it all the time, and I really live by it, which is you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And for me, I use this in my business life. I use it in my personal life. I use it with my friends and family. And ironically, which I think you'll probably love, it's because I know you're a huge hockey fan, it's Wayne Gretzky. So it's quite unique because I didn't actually know where I picked it up from or when I started using it, but it's really been a personal philosophy of mine. And I think it's actually driven me to do some things and take bigger risks than what I normally would have because, you know, the philosophy is if you don't shoot the basket or don't shoot the goal, you will not have even have any chance of it even coming near or hitting it, even by mistake or by happenstance.
Yeah, I love that quote. I love its origin, obviously. And one of the things that I think is really important that it comes from Wayne Gretzky, who scored more points than anybody ever did in the history of the game of ice hockey. You know, he rewrote the record book and did what many people thought was impossible. And, you know, I think if people think about some of the businesses that you've created, a lot of them kind of sound like the same thing. And it's interesting that you really, really gravitate to that quote because, you know, you've achieved so much.
Yeah. I think it's one of the reasons why I built a business in the United Kingdom, and it focuses kind of nationwide. And then there was an opportunistic moment for us to actually jump and try to do business in Russia. And it seems not logical, and it seems kind of weird. So it was certainly opportunistic, but it was the right time in that market and the right time for us. And that's how we jumped to Russia. And I think this quote really came into play there for me, which is if we don't try, we won't know, and we have to take the shot. We have to try. And it's been incredibly successful. So this quote means a lot for me personally because it's really gotten me to places where, you know, sometimes you dream about, but you don't know if you can really achieve it. So it's really very personal for me.
Yeah, I think it's also really important that we remember the word shots in this, right? I think where that's important in business is it's not doing a bunch of different things. You know, the shots are the same things that we're focused on, we're practicing on, we're doing. You're talking about scaling your business from the UK as a national business over to Russia. It's essentially the same model that you've moved. And so that's why the shot is important. It's not like shooting and then dribbling and then doing something else. It's all focused on the same activity.
And I completely agree with you. What we did was we took a proven model that I actually saw and operated in the United States and brought it to the UK and customized it to the culture, language, and norms. And then we did the same thing with it again, which was kind of a fun mountain to climb, where we took it to Russia, where it's completely different, and a completely different language, completely different history, completely different laws, regulations, rules, and customize it again. So I think that's important. And then the other place that I really use this analogy for shots is in sales. because I'm a natural salesperson. I'm kind of a natural born salesperson. I love to sell, promote, and share what is good for me and what I love. And, you know, if you don't pick up the phone and make that call, it's just like that shot that you don't take. There's no possibility of you getting anything from it if you don't take the initiative. So I really use it a lot in my sales training and sales and, you know, being able to just do some of the really good basic business, but use this as an analogy for it.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. And I think that really sort of leads into your next point really well.
Yes. So my next point, again, I have multiple ones, is build your network before you need it. And this has been true. I'm a consummate networker, but I'm not in the superficial sense where I actually build good, meaningful, deep relationships with people because I enjoy people. I just love people. My network is huge and widespread, but it's also very diverse, and I love the diversity in people. One of my strength finders is individuality. So I love the differences in people, and when I get friends together, people are always so shocked and say, wow, what a wide range of people. It's not very cookie cutter for me. So for me, I've always tried to help people, and through that natural wanting to help and connect them and support them, I built this network that when I need something, I call on them and they wouldn't think of a second to help me with whatever it is. So I think it's very give first, and then when you need something, you can usually get whatever you want. And so for me, building your network before you need it's super important, making those connections.
So let me ask you about that, because sometimes people think of networking as a bit of a rabbit hole, right? That it's just easy to lose your time and yourself in the creation of this network and the investing in a network. And you're saying something very different, because you're actually talking about it because it also fuels you, right? It's you enjoy it. You love it.
Yeah, I definitely get energy from it because I don't want to get too esoteric, but I really feel like it also produces kind of good karma. It's just if I can help people and help in whatever it is, a restaurant recommendation or a book to read or a place to go or a lovely experience, I do those kind of things with my, in quotes, business network. But that makes me real, and that makes them connect with me as a person, and I connect with them as a person. So then when we do business, we get this great basis of understanding and sometimes shared common values. And so I think that helps me with the people I do business with, because I treat them as a person and as more of a relationship of a friend than just a business acquaintance or business associate.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And I love the fact that for you, it's a positive. So it helps bring you positive energy. And I'm a big believer in that. So let's talk about your next point.
So this one's one that I've done some speaking engagements on and talked about a little bit, and I really love it because I really believe it, and it's really true for me, which is dream big because sometime life conspires to help you achieve them. So, you know, go ahead and go for that big dream, and that equates also for me for a BHAG, Big Hairy Audacious Goal. Dream big because sometimes life will conspire to help you achieve it or achieve them if there's multiple. And for me, you know, I came from a small town in the middle of nowhere with no stoplights and not much prospect for what I might do with my life. And through education and through dreaming and through traveling and seeing the world and figuring out what's possible, I've really been able to jump from that small town in the middle of the United States to, you know, building businesses in three multinational countries in Europe. So for me, this is really, really true, and I live by this as well.
So let's talk about how you dream big. You know, what is the process that you use to connect with your BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal, and your dreams in a regular day? Because, you know, the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur is hard. I mean, there are plenty of times when we get knocked down, and it's sometimes hard in those moments to look back up again. What do you do that's deliberate?
I deliberately imagine what could be. I deliberately try to say, well, what's not possible, but if it was possible, I would love it. And then I write that down or try to visualize that. And a simple example of this is when I named the company in the UK, we named it Retail Profile Europe Limited, not just Retail Profile, because I had aspirations that I could do this in multiple countries. I didn't know which ones. I didn't know when. I didn't know how. I didn't know any of those things, but I had that dream. And that's when, you know, Russia came knocking on the door, it was amazing because I was like, wow, I kind of built it and they came, that whole kind of scenario. So for me, I think it's important to connect with your imagination, connect with what would be, if it were possible, if everything were possible, what would you want? And then look at that and again, make sure that if it seems like it's a good dream, then try to double or triple it or make it much bigger.
That makes a lot of sense. How often do you deliberately imagine? Like, how often do you connect with those dreams? Is it a daily thing? Is it an intentional thing?
I think it is intentional, and I think I set aside. Sometimes it's in the private times, and sometimes it's when I'm on the weekends or with friends, and I'm talking and chatting, and I'm excited about a movie I saw or a book I read or something that I've just seen or beautiful scenery. And that's also quite a good time. It's not always in the office at my desk. I think environment's really important. I think getting away from what your today's reality is and getting somewhere else where you feel inspired and you can see something beyond kind of the forest for the trees is another saying I always have. See beyond the treetops to what might be possible over the next hill.
That's fantastic. So this next one is really interesting for me because it's what I really associate with you when I think about how you've built your businesses. The next soundbite.
Yeah, so my next one is the last kind of three soundbites are around partnerships and partnering. And one of my sayings personally is treat everyone like a potential partner. Treat everyone like a potential customer, everyone like a potential supplier. Everyone like a potential client. So for me, I never know where my next partnership's going to be or, you know, what that might look like. So everybody to me is my next potential partner. And that's that kind of what if and that that possibility and everything's a possibility kind of mindset.
Yeah, and I think that was really the neat thing that when I was listening to you speak about it, you were talking about everything like a potential partner, potential customer, potential supplier. It's all about the potential, right?
Totally. And this goes hand in hand with building your network before you need it. I treat the relationships I build, business, personal, whatever, as this, I'm building something that I don't know what I need today, so I'm building it for the future. And that's why every single person I meet, I treat as a potential partner, because then you're always putting your best foot forward. Again, you're always trying to help. It's a very intrinsic thing for me of giving and then figuring out what's going to be possible later kind of thing.
So when you talk about this, I mean, I'm sure that you're also aware of how many times, you know, people sometimes get a little squirrely when they think about partnerships. I mean, they get afraid of it. It's something that that many people seek to avoid, but you gravitate towards them.
There is a lot of people that have a lot of fear around partnerships. What if they don't deliver? What if they steal my ideas? What if we don't get along? Like people's, I think, brain go naturally to the what ifs of the negative side. And I think that my experience is that I've had four sets of partners. So definitely I'm trying different partnerships all the time. And I got each one of them started out great. And I got something from each one of them. I had one which I considered to be the most successful because on exit, it was the most gratifying. It was the most satisfying. And it was the most warm and caring about from each other on a business perspective. So, yeah, for me, I try to set aside the fear and again, think about the possibilities and then think how to negate those fears. And sometimes that's around making sure that you have common values and you share those common values, that you share a common way of operating in business. And when partnerships don't like to operate the same way in terms of the value set, that can be a complication. And then also just time frame I found was really important. I thought I had the right partner, but they didn't match my time frame. So then it wasn't the right partner. So I think if you look at those kind of three things, that the value set, the ways of doing business, and the timelines to make sure that these partnerships are aligned, once you have an aligned partnership, then, you know, everything is possible. I mean, it can be really amazing.
So I think I understand the first two pretty well. But what do you mean the right time frame? I don't know that I understand that.
So sometimes when you get, if we talk about an investor, because I look at partnering with my clients and the partnership, and we usually have a document that says our relationship is from the last four X amount of months, years, whatever. Sometimes it's like 7 years. So we have an aligned time frame where at the end of the 7 years, we want to sit down and talk and figure out where we are then. But we know that until then, we're partnering. And sometimes with our business partners, even if they're investors or venture capitalists or angel investors, their timelines might not match your timeline, or your timeline might not match their timeline. So I think it's important to have that conversation about what is your horizon? How long are you in this partnership for? Or what do you, when is the natural progression for us to reevaluate the partnership? And when you become partners in a business and it's shareholders and A and B, and it gets, it can get quite legally complicated. That's where I think this simple conversation comes into play. And can really make sure that you have a successful, like I said, that third partnership was what I consider to be my most successful because the ending was just so amazing and beautiful.
Yeah, and I think there's another thing that a bit of a misnomer too, Julia, or do you believe it is, around partnerships, that a lot of people believe that partnerships are difficult to end and difficult to exit, whereas, you know, other types of business relationships may be easier to terminate.
Yeah, and I'll go back to my experience with this third set of partners. We all, along the process, agreed with that it was a long-term partnership, and we were together from 2007 to 2012. Was it 13 or 12? 12 or 13. And when it ended, we talked along the way, and we talked about it, and we knew. We had a conversation. It was in person. And we knew the reasons, and we knew how and how it was going to happen and all those things. And it was a successful exit for them. So... And, you know, their return was like 5.5 times. It was an amazing success for them, for us, for what we built, and for where the business really is still is today and is continuing on. So I think it's important to discuss it and have those conversations and really be open and honest about it. I hope that makes sense.
That first quote about partnerships treating everybody like a potential partner is amazing. And I see how it talks into the, all of this stuff. Do you feel like we've talked about the next ones, or maybe we should talk about them as well and build on them?
I'll just briefly share you with them is, you know, treat everyone like a potential partner. And the saying after that goes is you never know who your next partner will be. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the next partner is the least likely person you think, but then all of a sudden something comes together and they become your next partner. So it's, if you treat everybody like a potential partner, then you never know where your next partner is going to come from. And for me, I'm always open. I'm always trying to figure out how could I work with somebody, what would the upside be, the downside, and what would be the synergies be for us. So I think it plays into both, and I think it's similar.
You know, and this almost brings me full circle back to your first quote, you know, about missing the 100% of the shots that you don't take. It sounds like, to me, When I'm listening to you speak, you're really talking about your relationship building as being the shots, right? I mean, you talked about it in sales, you talked about it in partnerships, but people are your shots, and you just make sure that you don't miss any people around you ever.
Yeah, miss any people around me or miss any opportunity with those people around me. So yeah, I'm quite open. And I think sometimes in business, we're always trying to rationalize things and we're always trying to do. And sometimes I have to try to stop and remind myself, because I'm quite good at being rational, that I just need to use my intuition sometimes and feel like the connection or feel where the right thing is to be next. So it's also that whole intuition versus being rational about things, and sometimes just letting the possibilities happen, creating the possibility of something to happen and seeing what happens.
Yeah, because oftentimes we shut the door before possibility does, right? I mean, we shut the door by not going in there or not investing in a relationship or holding back something because we just don't believe it's going to go anywhere. And you're saying quite the opposite, right? That be open to anything because you don't know where it's going to come from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, be open, you know, be open, ask the question, be open to the possibility. So, yeah, I think, and I'm quite an optimist, so I'm always trying to figure out if I have this conversation, okay, what could I do to benefit them and how might it benefit me and how is it mutually beneficial is kind of the questions I always ask in my head. Not that logically and not that kind of per se, but that's kind of the mind that I have.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Have there ever been times when it's challenging to be that optimistic, or that has it been challenging to take that next shot?
Definitely, because sometimes that fear rules us, or that limiting belief of that couldn't possibly happen, or that I couldn't possibly get, you know, one of my other sayings is I'd always rather be lucky than good. And could I really possibly be that lucky? And I think we have to just say, luck or not, try it and see where it lands, and that's where it's meant to be. So it sounds very unconcrete, but it's really worked for me in terms of applying good business principles and practices, but then having this openness.
Yeah, and in those moments when, let's say, when that confidence is shaken, or in those moments of fear, are you more deliberate about any of these activities, or is it always just the same?
I think when I'm fearful, I just say, okay, if this, the other thing I love to say is do something that scares you every day. And if it scares me or it excites me extreme, if I'm extremely excited, then I know, okay, I've got to do that. So if I have a huge amount of fear, then I'm like, okay, that's the one thing I have to go do. And that's that whole, like, you know, do something that scares you every day and do something that you think, oh, if I could do that, then life would be amazing. And that's the one thing then that I do gravitate towards and go towards and try to take the risk with.
That's fantastic. So, you know, when you think about, when you think about your BHAG, because you live in this land of possibility where anything is possible, how do you particularly stay focused on the things that you know, in terms of your BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal, that are really aligned with who you are?
I am definitely a list maker, and I'm definitely always asking myself, is this getting me to where I want to go? And the other thing that I've learned to do, especially working in foreign countries where I don't speak the language, is delegation skills, coaching and delegation. Because I ask, who's the best person to be doing this? Because it's not always me. And I know what my strengths are, and I also know what my weaknesses are. So in working in Russia, and the other country that we expanded to in 2010 was Germany, I was working with an MD in Germany that spoke both languages. So I could only coach her and influence her. I couldn't actually just say, go do this, go do that. I had to give her the reasoning and the rationale. So then she went out and built the company around the same culture, the same values. So that's been incredibly awakening for me, because if you're in another country and you don't speak the language, you've got to work with other people and through other people. You can't just do it yourself. So that always makes me stop and say, who could I be delegating this to, and where does this get me towards my big vision?
Yeah, it's almost like you were forced to work from a position of influence in working in a foreign country that you didn't understand a language, that really all of us as leaders need to do as part of our pivot and our companies grow. We have to just recognize we can't do everything. We need to use influence instead of power in order to move our organizations forward. You had to do that, and you made that shift. But to a certain degree, we can all translate that to what we're doing, can't we?
Totally. And the one other thing that I've learned is I have to give something else up to get something else bigger, better. So one of the things I gave up was power and control of the UK business when I stepped down as the managing director and put a professional manager in to run that, so that I could go expand the company to Russia and then subsequently to Germany. And I don't think unless I made that shift, I could have actually done it all. I would have either killed myself, or things would have dropped, or something might not have been executed as well. And so I had to make the tough decision of, if I want this bigger vision, this BHAG, then I have to give something up to get that next step and that next growth.
I got it. That's great. Well, Julia, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I'm thrilled that you could join me here today. Hopefully I can bring you back again. What do you think?
I would love that. I really enjoyed the conversation, and thanks so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
Fantastic conversation, Julia. Thank you for sharing those stories with me and with all of you. I loved how Julia's sound bites of leadership actually built into one another. And I don't know if that was intentional, but they really did. So you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Love the fact that actually that originates from the greatest goal scorer that ever existed in the game of ice hockey. Amazing. Grew up a huge fan of Wayne Gretzky, and that Julia's first quote came from him is amazing. And then to go on, that build your network before you need it talking about dreaming big, because sometimes life can conspire to help you achieve those dreams. And finally, talking about partnerships. Julia, thank you so much. I'd love to hear what you think about Julia's take on partnerships and this notion about building your network before you need it. You can join in the conversation at papernapkinwisdom.com or alternatively on Twitter at WiseNapkin. Finally, don't forget that you can ignite your leadership journey. Log on to Paper Napkin Wisdom Leadership Academy or PNWLeadershipAcademy.com for more information. My name is Govind Jayaraman. This is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thank you for listening.